Today, I'm especially excited to talk to David Nordblad. Finally, we planned that for a while. You are General Secretary of the Scandinavian Outdoor Group. Hello, dear David.
Hi, Kim.
Nice to have you here. You are described as a professional with deep roots in the outdoor industry, a fresh perspective with a fresh perspective and a smile that says, let's move mountains together. So really excited and super curious. Maybe we start with a short personal introduction of yourself. Who are you? What drives you? What does outdoor mean, etc.? Everything beyond your career.
Yeah, for sure. So I'm turning 40 this year. Still feel like 25 though, so I'm not super worried about that. I live in Åre, in the middle slash north part of Sweden, ski town. Two kids, a dog, just moved to a house as well. So we're having a good life here. I'm originally from the west coast of Sweden, from a small island. So I kind of used to this small village type of life, even though this is also a big tourist place here in Åre. But I like walking into the grocery store in the off season and kind of at least not knowing everyone personal, but at least you kind of recognize most of the people in there. And that's something I really appreciate.
And when you said you were raised on a small island, how can I imagine that one?
I mean, it's not crazy small, but it's outside Gothenburg and it's 1,500 people living there. So most of the people needed to go by boat into the mainland for work. And so we could go to school there on my island up till grade 6. And then from 7th to 9th grade, we used a bridge over to the next island for 3 years there. And then gymnasium, we needed to go into the mainland.
So living in the middle of Munich and having houses all around me, I could spend a podcast just learning how that was. But we are here as a B2B podcast and we want to look into the special points for you being a general secretary for Scandinavian Outdoor Group. And that would be, I try to focus my next question. So if we draw a line for your professional career, we could find the headline from sales floor to Scandinavian Outdoor Group as a journey. Maybe we start on something like a journey. What makes you the professional you are today?
Yeah, as you said, I've been in the outdoor industry working at an outdoor store when I was studying at the university and had maybe different plans from with university, but one thing led to another. So I started working as a sales rep, driving in northern part of Sweden, selling outdoor stuff for a few years. And
you are always allowed to mention the brands if you like.
Okay, yeah. Yes, I worked with Marmot and Smartpool, Cascade Designs, and a few others for a distributor here in Sweden. And living in Jämtland and Åre, I was connected to quite new at that point, started a skiwear brand called 11.8. And I joined them doing their sales and had an amazing time being at the skiwear brand in a ski town at an early stage where a lot of energy went into everything we did, the products, also living the lifestyle like Yvonne Chouinard's let your people go surfing kind of style, that if it was snowing, then we took you 2 hours off and went skiing and worked in the evening instead.
Just for those who just only listen to us and do not see the picture, it's that kind of smile which makes us as the passionate outdoor people resonating. So is there, you said you studied, maybe you can share what you studied and then other parts of your professional career until now.
I studied economics and business economics at the university in Östersund for 3 years. And in one way, I feel like I never really used what I've learned, but I guess that's a part of the game a little bit, that you actually do it without knowing it. So being in, I've been mostly working in sales. I took the care of sales for 11-8, and that led me to the next step, working for internet stores, or more specific at Nature, which was the Nordic part of internet stores at that point, doing purchase instead. So I kind of moved from one side of the table to another, which was very exciting, and I learned so much. You always see, it's hard, you see yourself from one angle, I think, when you're in a situation, and I was doing sales in one way, and that's how I am as a person, and then doing persons instead, you're meeting tons of salespeople all the time, and you see different way how brands work differently and how people work differently, and that's a big learning for me.
And maybe adding as a comment and a question, because of the B2B relation we have in our podcast, if you are working as a rep, we always count whether in turnover or in doors. Maybe you can share that one for 11-8, because then that also shows how it is if you work for internet stores as a buyer and also maybe responsible for the buying turnover. So we have a little kind of...
Can you say that again? Sorry.
Maybe you can share what made the 11-8 position for having that kind of turnover or the specific number of doors you worked with, because then it also shows the different perspective on how it is to be a buyer on the other side then.
Yeah. So at 11-8, I mean, we're a really small brand at that point, maybe had 10 doors in Sweden, and then we worked with distributors or agents in other countries, of course. But yeah, the turnover was like really small. Like,
and was right at the beginning, wasn't it?
It was early. It was early. But then compared to moving to internet stores, buying, from big brands, and we had pretty big turnover at that point as well. So it was a big difference, and you saw volume in a different way. 11-8 is a premium skewer brand. It's not that many pieces compared to high volume products such as socks or whatever that we work with at internet stores. So
thank you. I was asking that mainly because of the transformation, which is now super important for your role, to see all the different angles, which now is the most of the daily work of the brands you are representing as a member organization. So maybe you can say some of the, or you can mention some of the, what shaped you most in that time. It could be as a sales rep or being the responsible buying person, something between the soul of the analog business as well as the digitalization, which obviously made a huge step in that time. So what was the most impressive or shaping things you can share with us?
Yeah, I mean, for me as a person, and I put a lot of trust in people and in a relationship. So I think that's something that really shaped me in my role now as well. How I see brands, how I work with brands. I really appreciate honesty from brands and quality.
I think the thing you wanted to outline, and we had that also in the prep call, it's always a people's business where you rely on not only the career part, but you also said you rely on the personalities you met over the time. Maybe that's...
Yeah, exactly. Yeah. So what I really learned and how I still work and act as a person is the relationship between people. I have people I met 15 years ago, early in my career, that I can still call any day, and it would in one way feel like, we just talked to each other, even though it's many years ago. So I really put trust in that relation, and I think it's a huge value in how doing business that you put trust into each other, and you might work for different brands or retailers or distributors, but in the end game, you're still a human, and it's a relationship between people. And that's something I value and work for.
So you are in your ideal job, this position now, I think. So maybe to understand a bit more, and then we head to the to your personal goals and also to the Scandinavian Outdoor Group essentials. Can you share what's the essence? Is it more than a network? Everything I know from my previous jobs from Scandinavian Outdoor Group, I'm not only a big fan, but I was a huge supporter in the way I was able to working for a trade show. So what's in for our listeners? Can you describe Scandinavian Outdoor Group and everything just as a small elevator pitch maybe for Scandinavian Outdoor
Group? Yeah. So I learned, I joined Scandinavian Outdoor Group 3.5 years ago now. And before that, I didn't myself either know that much about Scandinavian Outdoor Group. I, of course, seen Scandinavian Village at the trade shows, but I didn't really know what it was all about. And when I saw there was an opportunity to join the group and take over this position, I really early felt like, yeah, there's so much we can do together. Scandinavian Outdoor Group is a member-founded organization. So it's founded from a couple of outdoor brands from Scandinavia. And the reason for it was to be able to make yourself seen and show yourself strong on an international market. So in a collaborative way, a few brands decided, like, should we really gain market shares on a global scale, we need to do it together, because we're from a small Scandinavian countries here, and it's better if we stay together. We might be competitors in one way or another, but we're also also able to help each other out. And now we have about between 60 and 70 members. And all we do is member funded. So being part of different projects as we're working, you normally say we have three pillars. One is sales and marketing activities, such as Scandinavian Outdoor Awards, Scandinavian Village, Outdoor Academy. Another part, which is maybe the most important one, it's what we do with network and knowledge, where we host networking meetings, we host webinars, courses, classes, collaborative projects, where brands go together to become better. And then we have a big part as well, which is the sustainability part, with a sustainability network and sustainability professionals who work as a ball plank or in one way, trying really to push the brands to be the best as they could. And all this to make them stronger on an international market. That's the main goal with the Scandinavian Outdoor Group.
Okay. Maybe I can add some of the experience I had with working with the group. Let's start with the first point on sales and marketing. Can you share? So seeing everything on the business intelligence part, which were the founder membering brands and also personalities and all that, I know that there was something really initiating that for being a group, but also transferring not only the goods and the soul of Scandinavian work, but also understanding what difference it could make to work with Scandinavians. This is what Martin Kessler always told me. So if seeing that in one part on all levels, so let's start with sales and marketing. Can you find an example for us, for the listeners who are maybe not so familiar with Scandinavian Outdoor Group, on project base? So we will start with sales and marketing, and we will end then for the sustainability working group with all the networks, etc. So maybe you can show concrete.
Like describing Scandinavian Village is a great example where instead of being a single brand at the huge trade show, Scandinavian Outdoor Group found a way to organize Scandinavian Village, which it will become an area at the trade show where brands stay together, having maybe a bar in the middle, and each brand pitch in some money each to be able to serve all customers at the show, coffee and snacks and whatever. And the reason for doing that is because, yeah, we want to gain attraction or attention for the Scandinavian brands in the Scandinavian village. So this is, it's impossible for anyone to know like who will gain most out of this concept, but we all do it together because we know it will help one another. And one brand selling shoes, for example, meeting a great retailer in one country, have a really easy way to recommend another brand in the village selling maybe wool clothing or backpacks or whatever. So it is a way to help each other to develop.
Cooperation first. And just to underline the importance, on which trade shows are we talking about at the moment?
It's mainly ISPO, the winter show, and it's also always been at outdoor. But we have had this Scandinavian village concept on many different trade shows as well during the years. So it's a concept that could be used and anywhere, and also in different levels, depending on what type and how big a trade show or similar might be.
This is also the sense of my question, to enlarge, hopefully, spreading the word of your wonderful way of doing business right. So next part you want to share in terms of the networking events. How can people out of our industry and outdoors globally can bring themselves in? How do we find invitations? Is that purely in your languages? Can you share a bit on?
Yeah, most of what we do, we try to keep it in the group. And we host two big networking events per year, one in the spring and one in the fall. And these events are mainly for the brands themselves to, in a very relaxed way, get to know each other, also maybe learn something during the way from lectures or classes or so, also workshops where we discuss like topics that are relevant for the moment. And you can't really join these events in that sense, but we have initiated about a year ago a partner program. So companies who are in some way related to the outdoor industry, but you're not an outdoor brand and you're not from Scandinavia, so you can't be a part of the group in that sense, but you might be a big supplier for brands in the group, or you might be a logistic partner, whatever. You can join as an outside company as well. To do that, you need to be recommended from members from the group. So it's not open for everyone. We keep it concentrated and small in that sense.
Okay, so collaboration could be one of the stepstones, which comes to my next question. So next two questions, you can prepare yourself already in your head. One is sustainability programs and projects. As we know, this is a real important cornerstone for most of the Scandinavian brands to be reliant on that one. Where is the status now? And also, what are the next steps for the association if it comes to cross-European work, etc., with other association. So let's start with sustainability. Can you have a short intro for us? Where is the status from all the member brands and what does SOG do to support?
Yes. So on the sustainability side, that's a part that's been growing the last couple of years. Mainly, I would say that is because of regulations being more and more, how do you say it? Presented for the brands and relevant for the brands. That's a big part of it. But what we do is to really help and educate what ways you should or could move as a brand. We also put pressure on the brands that you need to make a climate commitment to be a member of Scandinavian Nature Group. And all this is because we know how important it is now and all the brands know it themselves as well, of course. But to stay in business now, it's crucial to really know what you do and how you do your work with sustainability. And this is, yeah, our way is to, yeah, we have a network within the group where you can discuss it. We use different collaborative groups who work on specific subjects. We have one now with e-commerce and sustainability, how we could be better there.
And can you share some parts of that?
Yeah, so it's we realized like, yeah, either e-commerce from your mostly from your own D2C platform, but of course also with the retailers you work with, we realize that this is a huge part now, where since it's getting a bigger and bigger importance from the brands, we found out that how could we improve, or how could each brand improve themselves in this area? So we set up a five-step webinar with different topics, like could be packaging, logistic in other ways, and so on and so on, with experts in each field. And brands could join this sprint or this collaborative work and, learn from that, take that back to your own brand and implement it in the way that suits you the best. So we're, can try to guide them forward within this specific subject.
Okay. And this might then already lead to the next one. How is there a chance? I see when you say the network events are for the brands only, and also, but I would love to hear, it's all shared. It's all shared with European Auto Group. It's all shared with the French, with the Italian, with everybody, blah, blah. So concrete question, do you share that? Because in the climate commitment, when that started, was that 4 years or five years ago?
3 years ago. How long
was that? 3 years ago. So maybe you can have a short description on that one and what that brought to the outdoor industry pan-European wide.
Yeah, I mean, we felt that should we as an industry exist and thrive and grow, we also need to do our part. And as an association, we have a power to make a difference. And since this is something all brands or all companies have to do in one way or another, depending on what you're doing, we implemented it quite early, and that you need to make a commitment and find your way forward to reduce your climate impact.
Shared with the industry on European Auto Group level by that time, and they also took over some.
Yeah, exactly. And now that's, as you say, European Auto Group doing the same. I know Fiesta is doing the same. So it is... it is spreading in that sense, yes.
And maybe we could use this as an example also for sustainability and digitalization. Hopefully we can encourage you as industry to Scandinavian Auto Group to share as much as possible. So how is the community existing right now? What do you see? Because for all our listeners, just as a short explanation or introduction on European Auto Group, there are roles changing. There is a lot going on, which is not only crucial, but also very high perspective driven for now. Can you do a short intro on what is association status at the moment for Europe? So it's you and it's European Auto Group maybe, and also for the next steps, what you see, and then also for the combination of of everything which comes along with the goals.
Yeah, I mean, as an association, we... of course, follow also our, I used to call them bigger brother, European Auto Group. And we really try to use each other. They have projects and things they are working on that we're spreading to our members. And in the same way, we also try to use what they are doing to to help our members as well. So we really try to help each other as associations. I also work with the on the sporting goods side, Swedish, Denmark, and Norwegian sporting industry associations as well. And yeah, just to make sure everyone knows what's going on. It's so much that we are doing together with and what's going on in the industry. So staying connected and helping each other out, it's a huge of a huge importance, I would say.
And is there so any concrete values you want to share that would be the right platform and stage at the moment? Is there something you see, especially today on the 4th of April, 2025, we see back to a week which was crazy if it comes to geopolitical and economical situations in our...
Yeah. Yeah, it's been a crazy week and even longer than that. And tariffs now who are implemented for US and how that's impacting the brands now, it's crazy and it's a huge impact. I know a lot of brands took action when there were tariffs for China, moving productions, etc., to other countries. Now that's being affected as well, and there were immediately big reactions on a bigger level on the biggest sporting brands in the world. And being a small industry, which we are in one way, it will have a huge impact. And I guess, as from my point of view, it's important to be active to really look over your vulnerability, and but in the same time also use common business sense, which I'm so sure everyone's doing, that spread your risk and be diversitive to stay in a better position, I guess.
Is there any it's also, then the next question, where do you see 2025 going? What are the next steps for you as a person and also for Scandinavian Outdoor Group? And are there already concrete measures in place if it comes to export and all that? What's going on now? Yeah.
As an organization, we will, of course, talk about this situation and business environment we're all acting in now. Maybe not guiding, but at least informing of the situations and what possible solutions or way forward could be. Looking at another part of the industry with trade shows such as Outdoor now being paused, we found other ways to help our brands to reach the European market. So we have a new concept that's being rolled out right now with the Scandinavian Roadshow to have order days on facilities where the brands already have presence in many ways, such as Munich, Innsbruck, Salzburg, etc.
So ideally share, we do that in the show notes afterwards as well, but maybe you can share where we can find the source of information as an industry.
Yeah. Not sure that is.
Yep. Then we do it in the show notes as soon as it's there. And sorry for interrupting you. So the question was, where do we see what's happening in 2025?
Yeah, I mean, in this year is and will be a tough one for many, even before the last week's tariffs. It's looking at the global market, Central Europe, Scandinavia. It is tough. You don't see a increase in power purchase. So for brands to really grow and gain market shares, you need to find other places such as Asia, for example, still stronger. The US now super shaky, and also going into other type of business segments, I would see as the way forward for some brands. In our group, we have a few brands who work on the military side as well. And of course, they are affected in another way now with all resources being pushed to that direction. So even though the outdoor parts are weaker, they can stay in good business health with a leg in the military industry instead.
China not commenting on that. So is there anything you before? So we move to a quick fire in a minute. Before that, is there anything you want to share how other brands from the European sector or individuals can support Scandinavian Outdoor Group or share what the values are from Scandinavian Outdoor Group? Is there anything you want to share with the listeners and viewers right now here of our B2B platform?
I would say the value of helping each other out, being collaborative, being helpful is something that will help everyone in the long run. We are a small industry in the bigger picture. So help each other, getting people outside, especially young people, I would say that's something that would gain the industry in a whole.
Okay. Thank you for that. So ready for the quick fire.
All right.
It is all under the subline, how could this happen to me? So it's a little bit of quick, spontaneous.
Okay.
Honest, of course, David. First, what question is, it's always a question of translating this word, which, so your most embarrassing, in brackets, could also be funny, could also be challenging, could be inspiring, business moment.
Oh, most embarrassing business moment. I don't know really. What just pops up to my into my mind is being a young sales rep at trade shows, maybe having a little bit too much fun in the evenings, and maybe being a little bit weak during the next day. That's what I would consider now a little bit embarrassing, actually.
Your biggest surprise in your career?
Surprise. I don't know if it's a surprise, but when pandemic happened and all brands were going D2C and everything was online, and then you realize a few years later that, oh yeah, okay, maybe we wasn't that strong online and or in our D2C, we also need to rely on a retail environment, which is maybe not surprising, but still very interesting how we people work or think or act as a pendulum swinging back and forward, like with running shoes. And at one point, they're super thin and minimalistic. A few years later, they're huge and super cushy and big. And maybe you'll land in somewhere in between in the end.
Product-driven. Interesting. Your most outstanding idea?
Oof, outstanding idea. I'm not sure I have one that's outstanding, really.
You should ask your colleague and friends, maybe.
Yeah, maybe.
Stuff in the same position, is there something?
Yeah.
We skip that one.
Yeah,
no. We'll skip that come one. On. I asked them at the end. Your craziest journey you've ever been on, it could be private, professional or personal or whatever you want to share.
Oh, like a journey, like a travel?
A journey like a travel or a journey like an experience or a journey like, wow, how could that happen to me in this position or point of life or...
Yeah. Getting kids, for sure. That's the journey of itself, which is amazing. I love it, but it's a big journey.
I feel you. Your best deal or decision?
Deciding to stay in the outdoor industry. For a while, I was thinking that, yeah, maybe the grass is greener somewhere else. And I felt like, yeah, maybe I should find a job in another industry. But then realizing, like, having a job where you at least, I mean, every day is not a fun day maybe, but you have a passion for what you're working with and the privilege that is actually to have that and feel that it's that's a good decision.
Nice. One thing or two or three you have done to make the world a little better?
Wow. I wouldn't say I've done it, but my most special memory I have from a work at any point was because of a tragic situation and scary and sad. But when Russia entered Ukraine, immediately it started with one brand reaching out like to me, and I was quite new in this position as well, but they reached out to me and said like, we want to help, do you know any way we could help? And immediately after, another brand reached out like, yeah, we want to help. So we decided that let's try to find a way where we organize the help from the brands, from the industry in Scandinavia. And that was really emotional, and also felt for the first time really that we really made a change. Maybe a small one in a bigger picture, but still we made a change and were able to ship a lot of products to help the people of Ukraine.
Have fun. Your most inspiring moment for business, and it could be any person, could be any progress, could be the last question maybe as well. So is there anything else you want to share?
There's a lot of people that I really get inspired off or appreciate as a person, and how they do business and how they act as people.
We hear you thinking.
Yeah, I am thinking a lot.
Do you want to recommend a book, a podcast, or a film, or anything else?
Yeah.
Which inspired you?
It's a podcast called Acquired. It's a very well-known podcast for many. But if you haven't listened to it, you should really do it. And I'm very interested in brands and how they work and how they make themselves look. So there's a few episodes with from the luxury industry with Hermes and Rolex is a late one as well, but a few others like Nike. And the each episode could be like 5 hours, but don't get scared of that. Try find a brand or an episode that might be interested for you, and you'll be amazed on how good that podcast is. So check that out, Acquired.
Thank you. So are you ready for your outstanding idea? Is there that one come to your mind?
But I haven't really...
So next time when we meet, you share it with me, and then
can you help me? You need to help me on that one.
So how can people get in touch with you, David? What's the best way for you and for Scandinavian Outdoor Group?
Yeah, you can find all my contacts are on our website with my phone number and email. You can also find me on Instagram. It's David Norblad. And call me. I'm like in between. We briefly talked about it between analog and digital, I would say. But I'm kind of more to the analog ways in many ways. I like to pick the phone up and call someone instead of sending too many.
Yeah, we discussed that also a lot with the colleagues. between generations. So if there is anything else you want to share with your audience who listens and watches you right now, is there anything else you did not mention which is important for you and the outdoor industry and also Scandinavian Outdoor Group?
I mean, we have definitely mentioned it, but still, like, be collaborative and help each other out. That will gain everyone. And also be kind and make sure you have fun. It's really important, both in private life, but also in business. And it's something that will help help you and everyone as well. And then I just want to say thank you to you, Kim.
Was it worth to be nervous?
No, not really.
Okay, good.
Not really. Yeah, I felt really calm, actually, even if it's hard, but it's, yeah. But I think I was nervous in the right amount, though. It's always good to be a little bit nervous.
Absolutely. So please keep in mind, ideally, we find another moment in autumn this winter to share what's going on, because spreading the word from the Scandinavian brands and from our industry towards that inspirative part of the businesses on associations. Let's try to head up as soon as possible. Also, we could discuss sustainability deeper. We could discuss trade shows deeper. We could discuss everything with this as a first step, bringing you to public as a voice for the wonderful brands in Scandinavia. Thank you very much for that. It's been a pleasure.
Thank you.
And we see each other soon.
We will.
Greetings to all the member brands, please.
Thank you.
Bye.
Bye.
Hey, the jump off with a personal message. Do you like my podcast or not? Then help me get better or stay good, preferably via LinkedIn. And please spread the word, share it, and make our content even more relevant. Thank you very much, and see you next time.